three dozen people fall ill at an Obama rally in Maryland? What the? Yeah, really. Treated for illness during a rally featuring President Obama. President Obama is making people sick. I'm Brad Friedman here on the Mike Malloy Show. In for Mike tonight and tomorrow. He and Kathy will be back on Monday. If you missed any portion, by the way, of tonight's show, we'll have the entire archive up at bradblog.com probably late night tonight. If you missed my interview with Van Jones or Laird Monahan at the top of the show about walking across America to bring attention to Citizens United and that disaster. Momentarily, I'm going to be joined by Alan St. Pierre of Normal to discuss what could be a sea change in this nation on the November ballot out here in California. But like the Prop 23 scam that we were talking about in the last hour, this is not a scam, but these are two ballot initiatives on the ballot for November that affect not just California, but the entire nation. And when I hear people saying, well, why the hell should I vote? Both of these parties are terrible, they're evil, they're both lousy. Well, they both do have their shortcomings. I'll just put it that way. One is like really evil and the other one is a bunch of cowardly wusses. It can be pretty dispiriting, but as Van Jones in the last hour seems to encourage us, being the most positive man in the world, giving up the fight doesn't work either. And when you've got important initiatives on the ballot, when you got this phony Prop 23 set to gut California's global warming laws, that bipartisan popular bill being taken down by oil corporations who are buying their way into destroying this country. If that's not enough to get you to show up and vote, I don't care who you vote for, by the way. I don't care how you vote for, on these initiatives either. But, you know, it's a lot more, there's a lot more going on here than supporting Republicans or supporting Democrats. And these initiatives, I think, underscore that very point. We are going to take your calls after I finish up with Alan St. Pierre. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. And, yes, I see that we've got two different marks, both in San Francisco. I'm going to try to get to both you guys and everybody on the lines at 877-520-1150. But first, let me check in with Alan St. Pierre, who is the executive director of Normal, which, if you don't know, is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and the executive director of Normal Foundation. On, I want to talk to him about Prop 19, the quote, Regulate, Control, Tax, Cannabis Act of 2010. And I think we got a real noisy phone there, so let's see if this works. Alan St. Pierre, welcome, my friend, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Good evening.
Appreciate you saying you're out on the East Coast. Are you not?
I'm a block from the White House.
Okay. Well, appreciate you staying up late here, to talk to me about this, because this bill, this initiative, California's Prop 19, first, tell me, briefly what it will do, and then I got some follow-up questions for you.
If it passes, this will be the first state in the union that would actually legalize marijuana. It would allow counties within California, based on their local mores and values, if they want to regulate and to sell cannabis for non-medical purposes. So many listeners likely realize that about 50% of the counties in California currently, and for the better part of a decade, mm-hmm. have allowed the retail sales, but 50% of the counties don't, like Riverside, San Bernardino, San Diego's been very difficult, mm-hmm. the desert counties, but then again, of course, the coastal communities, East Bay, Los Angeles. So this proposition will do much the same. It will push that autonomy down to the local level.
And so that means that county by county, they decide if they want to legalize it. And what does legalize mean? You can grow it, you can sell it, you can buy it, what?
specifically in this case, you can possess up to an ounce. You can grow 25 square feet. That's a 5x5 plot, so pretty small. You could have a couple plants under it. Mm-hmm. And if the county wants to allow sales, just like they do now and starting to tax it, then they can do so. And if they don't want to, then they could be like a dry county, the same way we have 800 dry counties for alcohol, mm-hmm. 75 years after Prohibition ended.
Will this pass federal muster? In other words, if this bill does pass, can the feds say, well, that's great, I'm glad California did that, but we're the federal government, and that is illegal. Cannabis, marijuana is illegal under federal laws.
Well, there's a great argument being made, certainly yesterday in the Wall Street Journal by the all the former heads of the DEA, that this isn't the case. However, well, 14 years after medical marijuana was made available by the voters of California, which is now spread to 14 states, 90 million Americans, approximately one in three of us, live with medical marijuana laws today. So the federal government has not sufficiently intervened in those states. In fact, five states now give state licenses and tax marijuana. So unless the federal government's going to make some sort of weird delineation between medical sales are okay, mm-hmm. but non-medical sales are not, they're kind of in a pickle here. This is very much like Al Smith and the end of alcohol prohibition, when Al Smith, the governor of New York, basically said in the late 20s, yeah, this is a federal prohibition, you go and enforce it, which they really won't do.
So it really will stay illegal at the federal level if, let's say, an administration comes in who wishes to suddenly enforce this, the federal law. They would have that legal right if they dared.
Right? True. And in fact, for those who are so jaded that believe that elections don't matter, right now, one of the reasons why all these states have moved so quickly and in the last 2 years allowing the taxation is because the Obama administration, with no change of federal law, has effectively taken their hand off the scale by allowing the state much greater autonomy under something called the Ogden Memo, which came out October 20th, 2009 from the Justice Department. Wouldn't want to play a soothsayer here, mm-hmm. but had the McCain-Palin administration been in place, they absolutely would have kept the same federal friction that had been going on from 96 to 2009 under both Clinton and the Bush administrations, where hundreds of these dispensaries and cultivators were raided, and many of those individuals are serving 5 and 10 year mandatory sentences.
But I don't understand that. John McCain and Sarah Palin, they're in favor of states' rights, right? They don't think the federal, the big brother, ought to come in. They're in favor of freedom, aren't they?
Well, that is one of the things that will make me the most jaded person here on K Street, is listening to that rhetoric for 20 years here, where the modern GOP has argued for less government power, devolving out of D.C., greater autonomy at the state level, and here they have the prima facie example to allow this to happen, but traditionally fight it all the way.
Well, on that level, how is, since these the Tea Party out there has convinced themselves they believe in these things, has this had an effect? Do you think you're going to see that libertarian element or the disinformed Republican, you know, the folks who have been hoaxed basically to be in the Tea Party, do you think that they're going to get it and they're going to come out in California and say, yeah, we do believe in freedom after all, and vote to pass Prop 19?
It's amazing that to this juncture, this rather unorganized but semi-organized, you know, like a starfish with only three legs, that it happens to have made no real connection to the topic of marijuana legalization, again, despite it being one of the best examples of something where, and here are some numbers, 75% of the public supports medical marijuana, 73% support this notion of decriminalization, and at the national level, 45% support legalizing it outright, and in California, we're polling 50% in favor of it, 42% against it. So in about 3 weeks, the voters of California are likely going to do something absolutely cataclysmic here and end, for all intents and purposes, the federal government's 74-year marijuana prohibition.
And not just marijuana prohibition, but a war on drugs, that a phony war on drugs that the U.S. has been, you know, running on one hand and then using on another. You can read about it at bradblog.com. Ernest Canning wrote a terrific piece on Prop 19. So you're saying that 50 to 42, that's what the pre-election polls are currently showing in favor of Prop 19, correct?
Indeed. The field poll 2 weeks ago came out indicating that. They'll do at least two more polls, and it looks like this trend, which is a macro trend, is more support on the upside and diminishing opposition on the backside.
Have any state, or even federal, I suppose, but any state Democrats or state Republicans, elected officials or candidates, come out in favor of this Prop 19?
Few, only Tommy Amiano, who has a legalization bill pending and will reintroduce a new one in the new session, has really been vocal about riding the wave of Prop 19. That's one of the most amazing things about this, is how the disconnect between politicians who otherwise can usually put their finger in the wind and get some idea of what the public wants, why over all these decades have been such a disconnect between both parties, pox on both their houses for all these years, and the public, which generally has sought, as I described earlier, soft reforms that decriminalize medicalization, and we're getting very close to a majority on legalization.
This may be a place where finally the people have their say. We'll see. Both the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Jerry Brown, and the Republican gubernatorial candidate, Meg Whitman, I think they have both come out against Prop 19, right?
Indeed, as has the senators, and Ms. Boxer is the chair. I mean, think of, Ms. Boxer is a proverbial, quote, liberal Democrat, and yet she and Ms. Feinstein have come out lock solid against this. Again, you almost can't make this stuff up.
Cowards. This is, yeah, well, you know, this is what they did on Defense of Marriage Act, mm-hmm. Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's all the same thing. They're all cowards, and maybe this time the people will rise up and say, hey, cowards, we're going to do what we want to do and vote the right way for real freedom. Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Really appreciate you staying up late tonight. Folks can get more information on Prop 19 where?
Certainly at norml.org, where you can get everything about marijuana except where to buy the stuff.
Okay. norml.org. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Take care.
All right. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Your calls coming up straight ahead on 877-520-1150. What an hour. We'll be back.
We can do it anyhow. I and I will see you through. Because every day we pay the price. We're delivering sacrifice.
That song is, don't they? Yeah. Okay. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman. There you go. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com sitting in for Mike Malloy, taking your calls for the rest of this hour at 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Mike and Kathy will be back. I'll be here with you tomorrow. Mike and Kathy will be back with you Monday. Tomorrow we will have the hilarious Liz Winstead, Daily Show co-creator. Can't wait. She's going to be joining us, taking your calls, talking about the big 10:30-10 rally or rallies and her own rally that night. We'll find out if she will be appearing once again with Jon Stewart on the Daily Show of a sort at the rally. Also, we're going to be joined, I'm hoping, by Alex Halderman, the man who hacked the internet voting scheme that was about to be used in Washington, D.C. in the November elections. They were able to put not just put the University of Michigan fight song on there as their calling card, yeah, but within hours took over the entire server, overwrote every single ballot with a write-in vote, found out how people had voted, revealed their identities, and put in some code that would keep them from being able to, or would allow them to change the votes in the future. Are you scared yet? You should be. if the, you know, these, well, I'm not going to talk. Well, we'll talk. Some callers want to talk about it, but I know that we got two different marks from San Francisco. And they've been holding for a long time. So let me go to Mark from San Francisco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Am I the right Mark?
Are you? You tell me.
I guess so.
Okay, you are.
Okay.
What's up, brother?
I was going to originally talk about Van Jones's resignation, mm-hmm. but when you brought up St. Pierre with Prop 19, I found that very important. And I'd like to say two things. First of all, the one problem I see...
You can say one thing because we only got about 40 seconds, so go.
We have a problem with it in that it is so limited in how much can be grown and so forth. And at the same time, it doesn't bring in the fibrous cannabis.
So, Mark, you're complaining that if they legalize cannabis across California, you're already complaining that they're not letting you have enough?
Especially also of that which actually makes fiber.
Okay.
I'm serious.
All right. So, this is in the proposition that puts a limit on whatever you're talking about?
You can grow, and I don't see why they should not just allow it like cotton.
Okay.
Or tobacco.
A path is built, if you will, one stone at a time. Thanks for
the
call, Mark.
I understand that, but I can see we're going to be held back. Like, you've got Boxer, who is our best, unfortunately, one of the best senators we have, who is going against it. This is always just
very
uphill.
That's their theater. That's
one
the kabuki theater. Quick, Mark, I got to get to a break.
Yeah. And that is, I thought also that also Washington was. If we had Washington, Oregon State, and Nevada actually come up and put up propositions at the same time, there's no way that the Obama administration can come down on them, because if you remember, 4 minutes after the close of the West Coast states, he was elected.
I got to get to a break, sir. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your call. We will get to the other Mark in San Francisco and the rest of you on the line if we can. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, whether you like it or not, and we do hope you like it. Stop by the chat room, by the way. Jeannie Dean and Desi Doyen are holding down the fort there. I will be reading it all after the show, so watch what you say. More straight ahead.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you
like?
All I need is my love.
All right, welcome back to the Malloy Show. What did I do? He's making pay. Welcome back to the Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Brad of bradblog.com, I should add. The phones are lit up here, as I suspect are the callers after that Prop 19 discussion. They are lit up as well. We're taking your calls for the rest of the hour, 877-520-1150. Want to get in as many folks as I can. Kathy in San Francisco, you're against Prop 19, which would otherwise legalize marijuana across the state of California.
Yes, I am, Brad, and it doesn't legalize it enough. I'm in the medical cannabis community. I have been for years, and the majority of the people that I know that are already cannabis professionals are totally against this law. On a personal level, it would throw my 22-year-old son in jail for 6 months for passing a joint to his 19-year-old brother.
Okay, well, explain this to me. Why would it put him in
jail? Because it intensifies in an extremely draconian way anything but possession of 3/4 of an ounce of or less.
So you're in favor, if I get this straight, you're in favor of the general proposition of legalizing it, but you feel this doesn't go far enough, and at the same time it puts in some penalties to the point where you think you should vote against this proposition. Do I understand?
Absolutely, and it's completely unrealistic because,
okay.
Brad, where are all those people supposed to get their 3/4 of an ounce? Everybody is not going to have plants growing on their balconies in San Francisco.
Does this allow people to sell it at a store?
No, it does not.
It does not.
And it doesn't allow cultivation and for any avenues of cultivation and supply that's any more legal than the dispensaries already are.
So if you wanted to get it from a dispensary, you'd have to have the medical marijuana approval or prescription.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And you know, I don't know how you feel, but I wouldn't want anybody telling me that I could buy a bottle of wine, but I can't have a wine cellar.
Well, okay, I understand, but, you know, these things do happen one step at a time, and I don't think we even...
It's the wrong step. It's not a well-written law, and it's going to bring a lot of unintended consequences, I guarantee you.
Kathy,
it's
don't...
trouble.
Don't you think that we would not even be having this vote now if we hadn't passed Prop 215 for medical marijuana, that this is a process?
I absolutely agree it's a process. I just think that because there's been an intense interest in legalizing small amounts, that there's been capitulation on the side of coming down very, very, very hard on people who, way harder on people who don't. But like right now, if my two sons were smoking a joint at Dolores Park in San Francisco and a cop came by and caught them, they might both get a $100 misdemeanor fine. Under this law, they would haul my oldest son off to jail, and he'd stay there for 6 months.
Because it increases some of these penalties. I gotcha.
It increases some penalties, okay. And it does not provide enough legal avenues for distribution and transportation to keep up with the so-called demand of everybody being able to keep 3/4 of an ounce in their house. It's unrealistic and a little bit, you know, fantastical.
Fair enough. I appreciate your thoughts here, and thank you for using your public airwaves to get them out to the people.
Thank you for letting me be heard, and I urge people to go online and read the bill before they vote for it.
Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate it.
All right. Great. Thanks.
All right. Let's see. Mark, I got to take more into everybody's listening in San Francisco tonight. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Mike Malloy Pro. Oh, wrong one there. Wait a minute. There we go. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad.
Hi.
Are you familiar with that bill that was going before this Congress about the tax breaks for corporations that were outsourcing that were going to end them?
Yeah.
And there was a Buy American provision in it.
Yep.
And the Republicans filibustered it.
Yep.
And also this foreign money going against
that was how they were going to pay for the additional health care for 9/11 first responders, as I recall.
I think this is a different bill. This was going to end the tax breaks for the corporations outsourcing our jobs.
Okay.
And a Buy American provision.
Okay. The other one, I think, was the tax breaks for overseas corporations, something like that. But yeah, I do remember. And of course, they filibuster everything.
And also this foreign money, I mean, going into the campaigns against Democrats.
Yeah.
I mean, these teabaggers, this is so un-American. I mean, how can they possibly justify their position of being a Republican when there's so many anti-American provisions that these Republicans are doing against our country?
Because they've been disinformed by the corporations who own the airwaves, starting with Fox News, but certainly not ending with them. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate your call.
Okay, buddy.
All right. That's what I've been yelling and screaming about for God knows how long, and the Democrats had opportunities to do things about it, and they didn't. And we're still in the same soup we're in, and it's getting even worse. There's just no two ways to put it. All right, let's go to Bill in Cleveland. Hey, Bill, how are things out there in Cuyahoga County?
Hey, bro, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
You know, I got a question for you. You know, I worked for the election protection in 2004, 2006, 2008. I actually did exit polling.
Thank you for doing that, sir.
And I signed up again.
Yep.
And crickets.
Yep.
And their website, theelectionprotection.org, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
It's, like, silent. There's nothing going on. Do you know anything about this and why? I mean, you're reporting all these crazinesses going on.
Yep.
And, like, what, there is no election theft anymore?
You know what? People are dispirited. I mean, you know, people worked like hell, to stave off what could have happened in 2008. Some people say the worst did happen in many ways in 2008. But in any case, you had the Democrats come in and didn't do a damn thing about it. Now, we have Velvet Revolution has set up a campaign called ProtectOurElections.org. where we have tried to go through and pull out all of the existing election reform measures that are on the table that have been introduced in Congress, and you know, picked out the good ones and thrown away the bad ones, and said, look, we need to support these things. We need to see some legislation move forward.
Yeah, but whatever happened to the Holt bill that we all were crapping about?
Well,
it was like so awful. They still wanted to let these touch screens in and da da da.
Yeah, lousy bill. And
that died. I mean, I don't recall hearing anything about that from you guys or anybody.
Oh, you didn't hear anything about it? Well, you heard it from me. I mean, I was,
Well, but that was 2 years ago.
Well, I was never in favor of that bill for a start, but look, I've been pushing.
Fixing is what I meant.
What's that?
Fixing the problems with it, and I know you guys were active in that.
We got to raise hell. We're still active in it. We try to raise hell all the time. It's a hell of a fight, and it's getting harder because now you have crazy people running the show.
Oh, geez, tell me about it. We got crazy people running here in Ohio.
I know.
And you got to remember, in 2004, guess where our buddy Uncle Kenny Blackwell was routing all the stuff, to computers.
I have heard.
Tennessee or something. And it's Jennifer Bruner, bless her, but she's done a great job. She's not running again. She failed for her bid to run for the Senate seat.
Right. Yep.
And now I see that she has opened up some kind of thing against the banksters that are trying to foreclose on all these people without getting signatures.
There's so much work to do, but listen to the message from Van Jones. Don't get weary. Keep up the fight as best you can. Thanks,
Bill.
We're
here in Cleveland, and we're fighting, Brad. I just want everybody out there to know that.
Thank you, brother.
We all got to fight. We all got to stick together. We got to get this done because democracy is dissolving in front of our eyes.
Yep, and it's got to be stopped. Thanks, Bill.
Right.
Really appreciate your voice.
Thanks, bro. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Let me go to, who do we have here? Armand in St. Petersburg. We've got just a few seconds here. What's on your mind, Armand?
Well, I just wonder, what if instead of going to war when Bush came in 2000, that we had a real honest leader that wasn't bought and paid for by one side or the other? And instead of going to war, we would have took that same amount of money and built all brand new manufacturing factories that were energy self-sufficient in this United States of America.
I hear you.
Imagine if we would have done that. And we could even filter the money through the industrial military complex, and instead of dropping bombs on innocent men and women and children for the corporate profit short term, we could have had them assist us in building all these new factories, and it would have been full employment. Then the home market would have sustained itself. And it wouldn't have imploded and blew the bubble up that it did. And we would have everybody in their homes now. The equity would be where it was. We could start our own money, our own capital, and print our own money because we'd have something to back it up by productivity and value added. We could get out of this quagmire. We could shut off the borders from the imported stuff that's destroying our country and our money that you're about to see when they devalue it, what money buys when you don't make anything. And the future would be fabulous. We could then go to the national health care that we want and we need, and the demographics of the population, the baby boomers getting older, would infuse more capital into the system that would increase more proportionate productivity that would stop inflation, and we'd be the most prosperous lighthouse to the world to see without wars and destruction and peace and education and health and show the world example.
That's it, baby. Singing, Armin. Thank you. Well done, sir. And, of course, if the, as my dad always says, if the queen had balls, she'd be the king. But you're absolutely right. If. How did that happen? I mentioned it in the top of the show. First hour, we let an election get stolen, not from us, the Democrats, but from we, the people, because we lost sight of the ballots. We stopped counting them. We allowed the Supreme Court to tell us to stop counting them. We stood by and watched. And we didn't learn many lessons, I'm sorry to say. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. Still have a few lines open if you want to get in before the end of the show here. 877-520-1150. We'll come back around to them on the other side. And what other bit? Do I have any other business I have to take care of before? No, I don't. All right. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. One more segment tomorrow night. Liz Winstead of The Daily Show, Alex Halderman, he of the DC Internet Vote Hack, oh, and the Pac-Man Hack. We're going to talk about all of that tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss it. Brad in for Mike. Stay tuned. When I caught a glimpse of reason, filling in a ticket in a little white book, in a capsule of my shoulder, and the bag across her shoulder.
Remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, a sigh is just a sigh, the fundamental things apply as time goes by.
My thanks tonight to our guests, Laird Monahan, Alan St. Pierre, and of course, Van Jones. Also, my thanks, as always, to engineer Tony Sorrentino here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150, my producer and screener, Desi Doyen, and Jeannie Dean, of course, at the bradblog.com chat room, which I will be reading later, and, of course, my thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to come on in here and screw up their show. If you're listening via MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned afterwards for Head On with our friend Bob Kincaid. For those who've been asking in the chat room at various times tonight, no, I don't have a show. I'm just a blogger guy. But I do sit in from time to time for Mike and anyone else who will have me. And you can also hear our Green News Report, of course, on only the finest of progressive radio stations across these United States, or at greennews.bradblog.com. Oh, I should also say, now on Wednesdays, I've been sitting in with my good friend Harrison over at Pacifica's local Los Angeles affiliate. So you can try to find me there, but otherwise, you'll find me on the blog. Okay, we'll get a couple more calls in, 877-520-1150. Make your comments as quick as you can so that I can try to get in as many callers as possible. Nora from Minneapolis, what's up?
Brad?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, good to be on. Thank you.
Good to have you on. What's up?
Hey, well, before I go on to my main subject, just want to mention it's sort of unfortunate for trying to legalize marijuana that not only does it have the force of the tobacco, alcohol, and pharmaceutical against the marijuana part, but then the actual, they used marijuana as an excuse for the actual problem, which was when they invented the decorticator, that hemp became too much competition for the forestry, paper, cotton, and burgeoning petrochemical industry, so that's why they had to stamp it out.
All right, well, that was a well said point, but that was not your main point?
No, my main point is this.
Hurry.
About, I was at the organizing meeting tonight, and, you know, 2 weeks ago, the FBI went and broke into a bunch of homes of anti-war activists and international solidarity activists.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now, these courageous young people are now all refusing to appear at grand juries. And they've had demonstrations, 60 cities last week. We've had two so far here. And
keep up the fight, Nora. I gotta get to other callers or I'm going to run
really
out the clock.
We want people to call President Obama and U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder.
Mm-hmm.
And demand to stop the repression
knock
against
it
the
off.
Anti-war and international. And I took so much encouragement from Van Jones by him saying they wouldn't be doing these absurd extreme tactics if they didn't have a strong movement they were contending with.
Thanks, Nora. I appreciate it. Let me get to, well said, let me get to Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Real quick, Ron, what's on your mind?
Good evening, Brad. For the 2012 elections, in the primaries, we need to get a movement where all Democrats vote out all incumbents and all Republicans vote out all incumbents, and we get a Congress of rookies.
Of rookies?
New people, yeah.
You say the people who don't know
the power brokers.
You feel the people who don't know how to do the job will serve us better than those who do.
We
right?
just need to get rid of the power brokers.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thanks.
I appreciate your call. Thanks, Ron. Let's see. Jeremy in Burlington. Do we have time? We do. Real quick. Jeremy, what's on your mind? Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brett.
Hey.
I just want to say, how can we keep having Glenn Beck on TV when he comes out day after day after day with lies? Yesterday it was that slavery wasn't as bad as it was in the end until big government stepped into it and that our government never put it into power.
Jeremy, you're saying big government ruined slavery for the common man?
He's saying that slavery wasn't a bad thing until, big government stepped in.
Okay. Well, you know, he happens to be either crazy or crazy like a fox, but he's on our public airwaves, and nobody's doing a goddamn thing about it to get him off our public airwaves. It does not belong to the corporations. It belongs to the people. But don't get me started on a rant this late in the show. Anything else, Jeremy? I got to roll.
I was going to say we can't say the F word on the radio.
Don't.
But he can spell his trash.
There, you're absolutely right. Thanks, brother. I appreciate your call. Let me give 10 seconds to Ed in South Jersey. Welcome to the show, Ed. What's up?
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
For taking my call.
You bet. Sorry, I don't have more time. So what's on your mind?
You want me to hold over after the commercial?
No, we're done. This is the end of the show. What do you got? Send us out with a good thought.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say that it seems to me, I'm a 35-year-old black male, and it just seems to me that a lot of the white people in this country are in denial. It just seems that way to me.
Okay.
And they tend to vote against their own best economic and financial interest.
You're damn right they do, and they've been tricked into it, Ed. Quick.
Yeah, let me just say one last thing.
Five seconds.
Obama and the Democrats is not the best, but it's better than the Republicans.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, we're going to talk about that tomorrow night because I want you guys to tell me who, if anyone, I should vote for. Thanks for the call, Ed. I appreciate it. All right. We've cleared it out. Good enough. Liz Winstead tomorrow night. Alex Holderman tomorrow night. And you're going to tell me who and why and if I should vote at all. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Until tomorrow, we'll see you at bradblog.com. Keep it lit.